The best meditation this morning comes from the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning of the 16th verse. And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for blessed flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I also say unto thee, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That is the text. Dear friends and Christ, what is the Lord's will for the church? Our recent synodical convention here in St. Louis expressed it in the theme, "God opens doors." The previous convention had resolved that this convention would have as its emphasis mission, local and worldwide. And that's a fine theme. In fact, the best we can ever do in the Christian church is to imitate our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. During his active ministry, he paused one day and he asked his disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" To which Peter gave the famous response, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, Jesus commented on Peter's confession of faith, saying, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against me." Now, while I was a student at the seminary, and for many years in my ministry, my concentration on these words rested on the petra matter, or upon the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. The strength and power of the church. But some Christian people called to my attention that there are some other important words here too, where Jesus with bold determination simply says, "I will build my church." The church is to be a growing organism. It's to be in a continuing process of expansion. There's nothing here that the stale or static. For the Lord is busy building his church. And this is not an uncommon theme either in the New Testament. You find it repeatedly in the book of Acts, and I like to see in some of the parables of Jesus also a description of the growth of the church, as in Luke chapter 13, where Jesus describes the kingdom of God saying, "It's like a mustard seed which a man took and sowed in his garden, and it grew and became a tree. From a seed to a large tree." And the next verses are also expressive of activity and expansion. Jesus says, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leaven." Now you know this. Yeast has several qualities. One of them is to penetrate to the uttermost, and in the process there is a rising of the matter, an expansion. So the Lord's own view of the church is that it is to be a living, expanding organism, and he wants to build. But it was not until after his atoning death, resurrection, just before his ascension, that he told us how his church was to be built, when he told his disciples, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." The baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So the Great Commission is to make disciples. Now you budding Greek exegetes know that in this particular Great Commission there are four words. Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. And you look at those four verbs in the original, and you notice that only one of them is in the imperative. And you also know that when an imperative is surrounded by other verbs that are, and the other three are participles, that verb becomes the most important. And a participle is simply a helping verb. So we are to make disciples by going into all the earth, proclaiming the gospel, and baptizing. Those are the means. Now, I'm sure unfortunately, sometimes in the church, we get our means and our goals confused. The means become an end in themselves, and every once in a while, we as a congregation or sometimes with clergy are satisfied with simply saying we are faithful in our proclamation of the gospel Sunday after Sunday from our pulpit and in our witnessing, and we leave the rest up to the Lord, and we seem to forget that the basic command of the Great Commission is to make disciples. And how often do we stop to ask ourselves whether this proclaiming of the gospel that we do results in making disciples? How many disciples are we making? Well, this is very similar. The Society of Convention publishes a workbook, and it always gives a report. And it has called to our attention in the workbook just preceding this convention that since 1971, our church body has been losing members, 119,000 souls to be exact. And the most significant though of these statistics identify 1,628 congregations as gaining no adults by confirmation or baptism during 1977, and another 695 congregations were gained only one adult. So you have a total of 2,323, or 38% of our 6,000 some congregations that gained either only one or none by confirmation and adult baptism during a period of 365 days. Here's another statistic. In 1977, only 38 congregations added 30 or more adults by baptism or confirmation. Now, this is hardly a picture of growth. This hardly looks as though we're fulfilling the Great Commission of making disciples. In fact, it may look as though that we have become conditioned to simply thinking of the church as going very slowly, and our chief function being that of maintenance. I recently read about a father who took his family to the San Diego Zoo, and while they were walking, suddenly they came face to face with an elephant. And being a good father, he moved to touch his children, and he noticed that there was an attendant there, and furthermore, that the elephant had a cane on his leg. But his newfound confidence to evaporate, and he noticed that the cane was not attached to anything. And he asked the attendant, "Well, aren't you worried that the elephant will go anywhere?" "Oh no," he replied. "The elephant won't go anywhere as long as he's got the cane on." You see, that elephant had been so conditioned that as long as the cane was on the leg, nothing would happen. Now, many of us have been conditioned to the experiences of our time. We are chained to the conditions that we grew up with. Maybe we're chained to the assumption that the church really grows very slowly, if at all. And you know, these things are all detrimental to the growth and expansion of the church. It seems to me that at least part of the reason for this slowness of growth is our hesitancy to come face to face with the human dimension factor in the Great Commission to make disciples of all nations. There is a great human dimension factor here, and this is referred to by St. Paul in Romans 10, where he writes, "How are men to call upon him in whom they have not believed? How are they to believe in him of whom they have not heard? How are they to hear without a preacher? How can men preach unless they are sent?" So, faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes by the preaching of Christ. Now, this is clear and plain. This is the human dimension. Human beings are to be the instruments of proclamation through which men come to faith in Jesus Christ. Now, God could have chosen to be other one. He could have chosen to do it directly and miraculously, as with St. Paul on the Damascus Road, or he could have chosen to take some angelic messengers, as he did when Christ was born, but he chose not to do it that way. He chose says, instead, he views us human beings. And if we believe, do not proclaim the gospel to make disciples of our nation, it simply will not get done unless the Lord has told you something that he hasn't told you. Now, consider the human dimension here. In no way in trust that we ever have within us the power to make disciples. That power is always in the gospel through which the Holy Spirit works. The Spirit must always be the Lord and the giver of life in the church. But we believe, need to understand that God uses us as instruments. This is our birth. This is our time. And a word of caution. Do not judgmentally dismiss such gross people as simply being obsessed with numbers, merely playing the numbers game. They are no more obsessed with numbers than our Lord Jesus was when he told about leaving the 99 to go and seek the one. Jesus wasn't talking about numbers here. He was talking about persons. And so we too in the church are interested in persons. The people who have been redeemed by the shed blood of Christ and who are not yet within the kingdom of God, who do not yet know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Furthermore, there is nothing particularly spiritual about not counting disciples either. So Jesus said, I will build my church. And obviously he has been doing. And obviously he wants us to continue to submit ourselves as willing instruments through which his Holy Spirit can work mightily. I'm reminded of the policeman who was in crowd control. And he came up to a group of people and he told them, if you're going to stand around here, you're going to have to get moving. And so, if us, the Lord has blessed us with a good life, with a good, powerful gospel, that so often we're simply standing around in it where we ought to be, allowing ourselves to be instruments of the Almighty so that he can fulfill the will of his Son, Jesus Christ, when he says, I will build my church. Amen.